Blog Talk Radio.
Darn right. Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, accompanied with by
Dave Bigley from Dave Bigley from Made in the Shrew, that movie, and Spaceship One, and here with.
This is CW, discovering life on the last iceberg on Earth.
There you go. Just travel carefully along said iceberg. I mean, you're not going to be like ice road truckers or whatever.
unless I take a wrong turn and end up on top of Everest, which is quite possible.
Yep. And we are nearing the end of Thanksgiving weekend. There's still leftovers for tonight.
There'll be leftovers in the next week.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
Pass the celery stick, please.
Same here. Tomorrow it's turkey and rice. So we're taking a bunch of the leftover turkey and making turkey and rice.
There you go.
With onions, butter, and onions, butter, and a whole lot of true and real. And you know, it's hard to find now. One of the shortages is real Hungarian paprika. Very difficult to find, at least in my little neck of the woods, of late.
Hungarian paprika? Really?
Yeah.
Yes. Spanish paprika is weak. It's lame.
It makes you sneeze in another language? What?
No, it's a spice. It's like reddish orange. And it comes in a tin. Actual real Hungarian paprika comes in a tin normally. Although I have seen like ethnic stores have it in a bag sometimes, just tied up in a bag. But it is good. It is the real deal. It is needed for certain dishes in our family.
So the donkey or whatever paprika is not real paprika.
It's not good paprika. It's meh. It's okay. It's adequate. It's more for, at that point, it's more for color than for taste. It's like presentation, where Hungarian paprika has a little snap to it, a little bite to it. When you even just sprinkle it on like deviled eggs or something, you know it's there, and it's tasty. I think. My wife's got Hungarian in her, so it goes like into everything. Even our chicken soup has a little orange tinge to it.
little
tinge to it.
I take it Parma paprika would not work.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite get that. Paprika from where?
A place called Parma.
Somewhere out there, Ron Sweet is screaming, "I did that first! Knock it off, copycat!"
No, he didn't.
I don't think Goulardi did it first, did he?
Goulardi did that, yes.
Really?
That was Big Chuck that started playing that, because he kept saying, you know, because when Chuck moved to Parma, and I guess Ernie had lived there, and he wasn't good at keeping his grass cut and things like that, so all the neighbors were always ticked at him, so he moved out. And when he found out Chuck lived there, he kept making fun of him. He said, "Look, I really like it here, and, you know, I got good neighbors and all. When you cut down on the Parma things," and he wouldn't. He says, "Look, next time that you say Parma, I'm going to cut your mic." And Ernie says, "Really?" And so the only one that could ever get away with it in the world, next time he said Parma, Chuck cut his mic and put in the, didn't have just that air, so he put it in. And Ernie had the shocked look on his face, that all of a sudden he had a big smile and he just started swaying with the music.
I remember the ghoul would, would also say, remember, Parma spelled backwards is AMRAP, and he would play this, right? Well, there really was an AMRAP street, and I used to live very, very close to it when I lived for a brief time in Parma Heights.
An AMRAP Heights, so cute.
I may have to try a quiche if I can find a vegetarian one someday.
Yeah, plant-based quiche, why not?
No, they make almost everything else into there. They're getting there. And you know, Dan, I really wasn't planning on starting it this early, but, you know, we're talking all this food. Perhaps I should do my little public service announcement here.
Sure.
Please do.
Okay, I need you to cut the quiche cup for this one.
Goodbye, Yasso. He brought it back, but okay.
Hey, he'll come back. He'll come back. So here we are, a public service announcement from Erie House Radio. Oh, where'd he go? Come on. Now, as a public service, Erie House Radio is going to tell you how to cook a turkey, being the holiday season that it is. Now, I know it's after the holiday here, but we have Christmas coming up, and that's when we'll have our turkey. Now, you'd think that someone should give this direction. That might be CW, but CW might give you a recipe for a tofu turkey. Now, a tofu turkey is fine and all that, but it's not really what we're looking at here. Now, we could let Dale give the recipe, but you know, this is turkey, and if you can't put pasta sauce on it or spaghetti cheese, then forget it. Dale's out. So that just leaves me. Now, I can do this. I mean, people wonder why. Well, you know, I started off in my paying jobs in restaurants. I worked in restaurants for, you know, close to, you know, 7-8 years. There's a lot of people that don't remember that I used to be working in restaurants. And there are people who remember that I work in restaurants and wish they couldn't remember. Anyway, there's two main ingredients we're going to need to make our turkey here. Now, the first one, you're going to need a turkey, of course. And then the second one, you're going to need a bottle of wine. Now, first thing you have to do is take the cork out of the bottle of wine to let it breathe. And if it doesn't breathe within 5 minutes, you need to give it mouth to mouth. All right, let's just say that everything's working okay. Here's what we do. First, you have to buy your turkey. Step two, have a glass of wine. Step three, stuff the turkey. Step four, have a glass of wine. Step five, put the turkey in the oven. Step six, relax and have a glass of wine. Step seven, turk the basty. Step eight, wine a glass another get. Step nine, hunt for meat. Wait, that's not right. Oh, hunt for meat thermometer. Okay. Step 10, get yourself another pour of wine. Step 11, bake the wine for 4 hours. Step 12, take the oven out of the turkey. Step 13, pet the sable. Step 14, grab another waddle of wine. And step 15, turk the carvey. There you have it. Your turkey is ready for your dinner.
There you go.
Sponsored by the Wine Association of America.
Yes.
I'll think of that.
So will Orson Welles, I'm sure, somewhere. It will serve no wine before it's time.
Time.
Yep. What time is it?
It's time to get into radio. We got two great shows, one from Gunsmoke, another from Jack Benny.
Well, maybe we should go for the laughs first. This is a good show. The good old Jack Benny.
You want to start with Jack? Hilarious
Yeah,
hijinks?
Let's start with Jack. Yeah, let's do some hilarious hijinks.
All right.
I've listened to several of his Thanksgiving programs. This is my favorite one.
And do either of you fine folks have an original broadcast date for Turkey Trial Dream?
How about November 30th, 1947?
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike. Quality of product is essential to continuing success. An outstanding example, Lucky Strike. In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And day in, day out, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. American. Lucky Strike presents The Man Who Knows. Mr. Ed Isaacs, independent tobacco warehouseman of Lebanon, Kentucky, has seen millions of pounds of tobacco sold at auction. Recently, he said,
season after season, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy fine, ripe tobacco. The kind of leaf a tobacco man really goes for. My own cigarette for more than 15 years has been Lucky.
At auction after auction, independent tobacco experts like Mr. Isaacs can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco. Remember, LSMFT, LSMFT. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And fine tobacco means real, deep-down smoking enjoyment for you. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. Yes, next time you buy cigarettes, ask for Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, Sunday night is a great night for comedy on NBC. One of the outstanding comedians is Fred Allen.
What?
However, it's too early for Allen, so I bring you his closest friend, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking, and Don, Rose Bowl tummy. Look, I'd like to ask you something. After all these years, how can you imply that Fred Allen and I are such close friends?
Well, Jack, last year when we were in New York, Allen told me personally that of all the friends he has, if he tried to borrow money, you'd be the closest.
Fred Allen said that?
Yes, Jack, he certainly did.
Well, Don, I'm the kind of a man who likes to give credit where credit is due. And that joke deserves at least 5 seconds of silence. Will you people in the audience please bear with us?
And that isn't all Allen said. He told me that...
Jack isn't back yet.
Well, where is he?
Well, the bells were ringing. He was out in the audience telling good humor.
I was not. And you're just as bad as Allen with those stingy jokes about me.
Oh, Jack, it isn't only Fred Allen. Everybody is talking about how cheap you are. Even I'm embarrassed.
What?
Look what happened last Saturday night at the Brown Derby.
Mary.
You ordered a bowl of noodle soup and ate it right down to the last spoonful.
Well?
Then you caught a fly, threw it in the soup, and refused to pay for it.
Now, Mary, look.
And that was a fine thing you did at the football game last week. Everybody else bought a pennant, but not you.
What'd he do, Mary?
He painted USC on his toupee and tied it on a stick.
Well, I had the winning team, didn't I?
Believe me.
Yeah, but if you dyed green for Notre Dame, I'll punch you right in the nose.
If you hadn't hesitated before green, you'd have had a great joke there. Anyway, sister, you're dimming my Christmas spirit. Now, let's get on with the... Come in.
Mr. Benny, I'm from Coronet Magazine, and we want to express our appreciation to you for being our quiz editor this month.
Well, I was glad to do it.
You were selected because you are a man who always tells the truth.
Of course, sure.
Now we'd like some information for our files.
Anything at all. What is it you want to know?
How old are you?
Well, how old would you say I look?
Oh, I'd say about 38.
Thank you.
Do you mind if I borrow your handkerchief?
Why?
The wind is blowing through this hole in my head.
What? Get out of here! I don't know why it is. On other shows, when someone knocks on the door, it's a guest star. On my show, it's always an idiot.
I'll be right with you, Jackson.
I wasn't calling you. But as long as you're here, Phil, snap into it and give us a band number.
Now, wait a minute, Jackson. Wait a minute. From now on, you just don't stand there and tell me to play a band number. You request a musical selection.
What?
Then if the maestro is in the mood, he will acquiesce.
Phil, are you winking at me, or did you lose the toothpick that was holding your left eye open?
I didn't lose nothing, Jackson. I'm just classy now. Didn't you notice what happened at the opening of the show?
Notice what?
I was leading a band without a stick.
Well, three cheers and a tiger for you. Without a stick, huh?
Certainly, it's much more dignified now that I'm like the other great musicians, Stokowski or Toscanini or Spumoni.
I knew if he talked long enough, he'd hit the jerk pot. I was sure. Phil, Spumoni is an Italian ice cream.
Oh, thank heaven. I thought I said a naughty word.
No, Phil, you're in the clear. There was nothing naughty there unless... No, ice cream is ice cream, no matter how you look at it. And, Phil, as far as your music is concerned...
Don't pick on my music, Jackson. I've got enough to do. I got to come to the studio, rehearse the script, and I got to rehearse the band, and on top of that, I got to write my own music.
You mean you make your own arrangements?
Certainly, but if you paid me enough, I could hire a guy to come down and fix them up a little. You know, one good note here and there makes a lot of difference.
Phil, one good note in your arrangement is like throwing a rose into a barrel of Roquefort. Anyway, hey, where's Dennis? It's time for a song.
Well, he hasn't come in yet, Jack.
Well, Don, while we're waiting, let's have the quartet do a commercial.
Hey, Jackson, if you want to hear something good, me and the quartet have worked up a number that's dynamite.
I mean, you and the sportsman prepared a commercial?
Sure. Didn't we, fellas? Didn't we, fellas?
Did you, fellas? You see, I'm boss here, Phil. Well, go ahead. Let's hear it.
Okay.
Won't you come with me to Alabama? Let's go see my dear old mammy. She's smoking Luckies and broiling hammy. That's what I like about the South. Down with Swanee River flows, down where that fine tobacco grows, where every man is a man who knows. That's what I like about the South. If you love me like I love you, send me Lucky's PDQ. Raw, raw, raw for SMU. That's what I like about the South.
Then we'll go to Tennessee. That's the place for you and me. They smoke LSMFP. That's what I like about the South. Yes.
Jackson.
What, come with me to old St. Joe, where they love me but the Lucky's Mo, so free and easy on the dro. That's what I like about the South.
Even down on Basin Street, they would rather smoke than eat, because Lucky Strikes are hard to beat. And that's what I like about the South, Don.
Funny thing about an Eskimo, they only smoke in the evening glow, but the nights are 6 months long, you know, and that's what I like about the North.
I'd rather be in Dixieland, because in that field that looks so grand, with a big tobacco leaf in my hand, that's what I like about the South.
Here's Effie Boone with all the news, Speedy Rigs in his button shoes, and Lucky Strike is the one they choose. That's what I like about the South.
Yes, sir. Say, Phil, did you write that number all by yourself?
I certainly did, Jackson.
Wrote the music, arranged it, and everything? I mean, nobody helped you?
No, I did it myself.
Well, now you know what I mean by Roquefort. I can't understand why Dennis isn't here.
Well, I haven't seen him since we had Thanksgiving dinner at your house.
That's funny.
Hey, Jackson, maybe the kid ate too much turkey and got sick.
No, he couldn't have. There were 16 of us at the table, and I still have half the turkey left.
There were 28 of us, and you still have 3/4 of the turkey left.
What?
Nobody but you would think of putting sleeping pills in the stuffing.
Oh, stop, will you?
Yeah, I can't understand where Dennis is.
You want me to go out and look for him?
Yeah, see if you can... Dennis, when did you come in?
Just now.
Why are you so late?
Well, I had to wait for my mother. She took me downtown to buy a suit with 2 pair of pants.
Well, why did your mother have to go alone?
The suit was for her.
For her? Dennis, your mother wears a man's suit?
Well, she used to wear a dress, but one day while she was working, her heel got caught in the hem. She fell down the ladder and dropped all the bricks.
Dennis, you mean your mother's a hot carrier? Why didn't your father do that kind of work?
Well, he has to stay home and do the cooking and sewing.
Well, that certainly is a mixed-up family, your mother wearing men's clothes and your father in an apron.
Yeah, when I was born, a doctor didn't know which one to take to the hospital.
Dennis.
Lucky for me, he took my mother.
Dennis, what makes you so silly?
Oh, I don't think he's silly, Jack. I think he's cute.
You're cute too, Mary. Now, if you ever think of getting married, my phone number is Gladstone 1975.
1975.
If a man answers, it's my mother.
Dennis, if Mary was thinking of getting married, it wouldn't be to you. You're just a kid.
Well, I'm not a kid anymore. My father told me all about the birds and bees.
What?
The birds are the ones with the wings.
Dennis, the bees have wings, too.
Don't get vulgar.
Dennis, do me a favor. Let's have your song,
okay.
Will you? Can't understand how he got 2 shows. How he ever got a father and mother.
Lately, whenever you hold me, you don't hold me tight. Don't you love me anymore? Lately, I've had to remind you to kiss me goodnight. Don't you love me anymore? I remember when I used to thrill you to the sky. Now I noticed when we kissed, you don't even close your eyes. Maybe I'm just being silly to feel like I do. Am I the one that you adore? Or don't you love me anymore? Don't you love me anymore? Don't you love me anymore? I remember when I used to thrill you to the sky. Now I notice when we kiss, you don't even close your eyes. Maybe I'm just being silly to feel like I do. Am I the one that you adore? Or don't you love me anymore?
Dennis reminds me a little bit of Jim Nabors. The characters he plays does not match the singing voice.
I think he has a great singing voice. See, before Dennis Day came along, Kenny Baker was there, and Kenny Baker hated being a stooge for Jack Benny. He just literally hated it. So he left the show when he got drafted in World War II and never came back. And Dennis Day said, "I'll do it." And he was great. I mean, Dennis was great playing. Matter of fact, he took that character onto his own show, the Dennis Day Show, and that's basically what the type of character he played throughout his show. He would start off the show with a song, and then go into their their sitcom bit of whatever silliness he was going to get into. And it sounds very much like kind of like the Mel Blanc fix-it shop. But I think Dennis Day's lasted at least a couple of years where, you know, Mel Blanc's lasted one season and that was it.
Which, by the way, check out last night's show. We played an episode of Mel Blanc Show, if you haven't heard it yet.
Yep. There it is, the entirety.
Yeah, and the Lucky Strike commercial, they're so demure about advertising their product, but the term in a Buck Bunny cartoon, I have always wondered where they got the thing for Christopher Columbus to say, she's around, she's a firm, she's a fully packed. I take it was a takeoff on this commercial.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for a long time, that was their shtick. So long, so firm, so fully packed.
Yeah, and that's what the Bugs Bunny, and actually many cartoons do. They're as much aimed at the adults with a lot of times with the language and stuff. There's enough silliness in it for the kids, and enough of a more intelligent stuff for some of the adults. That's why Bugs Bunny is always possible and always fondly remembered, because it was made for kids, but it was made for adults too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And they often took swipes at what was then popular culture. And quite well, I think.
and as does The Simpsons, whether you like it or not, it's always taken swipes at popular culture. And,
Family Guy as well, definitely Family Guy.
And Family Guy as well, yeah. They do it a little more vulgary. Family Guy is not always a family show, but okay.
Yeah, no. Not exactly.
But, it's just amazing how many shows are, Fox, where they have a whole Sunday night of basically animated shows, but... Flintstones started off in prime time. Johnny Quest started off in prime time. Jetsons was prime time. I'm not so sure Bullwinkle wasn't originally prime time.
Might have been.
That was in the late 50s, and that may have been. That wasn't for a Saturday morning, I don't think. Because really, let's face it, Bullwinkle was for adults.
Yeah.
All the play on words and things like that. Like Bullwinkle and the Kirkwood Derby, and Durwood Kirby tried to sue him over it, and he couldn't.
Yep.
It's, well,
the name is a coincidence. What?
On the shores of Gitche Gumee, on the ruby yacht of Omar Khayyam. Okay.
Yep.
That's
very
good. Right there.
Yep, very cleverly written show. As is tonight's comedy from Jack Benny. Let's get rolling, because we got this one to get through, as well as Gunsmoke, and who knows what else we got up our sleeves. As we get back now to the Turkey Trial Dream from the Jack Benny Show.
Thanks, Mr. Benny. Before I forget, my mother told me to thank you for inviting me to your dinner last Thursday.
Well, you were very welcome. And by the way, kids, all of you, I meant to tell you, you almost didn't have that turkey for dinner.
What do you mean, Jack?
Well, somehow I didn't have the heart to kill it. As a matter of fact, it was the day before Thanksgiving. The turkey was out in the yard and it was getting late. Look at her, Rochester. She's certainly a fine-looking turkey. Gee, we've had her almost a week now. I know, she seems to know us. Well, it's got to be killed. Here, Rochester, here's a hatchet.
Yep, we got to do it. Here's a hatchet, boss.
Yes, sir, if it's got to be done, it's got to be done. Here's a hatchet, Rochester.
No use wasting time, that's what we're out here for. Here's a hatchet, boss.
I'll tell you what, Rochester. I'll toss a coin to see who does it. Heads, it's you. Here, I'll toss this quarter. Here goes. Where did it go? Where's the quarter?
The turkey swallowed it.
What? Bob, Bob, with the hatchet, not with your bare hands. I was just trying to stop her from swallowing it. Now, Rochester, let's not fool around anymore. Now, take the hatchet and chop the turkey's head off.
But, boss, isn't there an easier way to do it? Why don't we kill it like Mr. Harris killed his turkeys?
Oh, does Mr. Harris kill turkeys a special way?
Yeah, he feeds them a quart of bourbon and lets them hiccup themselves to this.
You mean he gives a turkey a quart of bourbon?
On Thanksgiving, Mr. Harris wants everybody to be happy.
Well, that's silly. How can the turkey be happy? His body will soon be in the oven roasting.
Yeah, but his head will be out in the yard smiling.
Oh, fine. Well, we're not going to waste any bourbon on this turkey. Look, Rochester, we've stalled long enough. Now I'm going in the house, so you kill it.
But, boss, I hate to.
Well, I'm not happy about it either, but it's got to be done. Now go ahead. All this fuss over killing a turkey. But then, you do get kind of attached to them. I remember I brought her home Saturday. And every morning she laid an egg. If she could give milk, too, I'd have let her live. But then, what have I got to lose? At least this way I get food and a duster. Well, I'm sure gonna miss her. She was kind of cute. I don't know, she'd all...
Well, boss, it's all over.
You mean?
Yeah. Say, boss, I wonder what gobble, 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 gobble means.
Why?
Those were her last words.
Well, don't worry about it, Rochester. It had to be done. I'm going into the den and lie down. I'm kind of tired, anyway. Well, it'll be good to lie down a while. See, I'm tired after all the work I've done.
I hope the gang enjoys the Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays.
But it's not like it used to be. I remember when I was a kid back in Waukegan. My father and I used to go out in that big forest and shoot a turkey. Just think, that's where Chicago is now.
I hated to make Rochester kill that turkey. It was my fault, too. I didn't want to do it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm falling asleep. Maybe I better take my hat off.
I didn't want to kill that turkey. I didn't want to kill that turkey. I didn't want to kill that turkey.
Court. Where am I? Where am I?
Order in the court. Now the case of the gobblers of Los Angeles County versus Jack Benny.
Wait a minute. What am I being tried for?
You are charged with murder.
Murder? Wait a minute. This is a mistake. I didn't murder anybody. Who did I murder?
You murdered my daughter.
But you're a turkey. And look, the jury, they're all turkeys, too.
Everybody rise, please. His Honor, the judge.
Judge? How can you be the judge? You're a turkey, aren't you?
Well, what do you think I am with this worm in my mouth? An apple? What?
But, Your Honor, if you're the judge, why aren't you on the bench? Why are you sitting over there?
My wife went shopping, and it's my turn to sit on the nest.
Oh.
Whoops! Congratulate me. I'm a father. And now let's get on with the trial. The prosecution will present its first witness.
Will the first witness please take the stand? Your name?
Tallulah Turkey.
You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Tell her to uncross her legs. She's influencing the jury. Imagine her coming into court wearing those short feathers.
Now, Mrs. Turkey, when was the last time you saw your daughter?
When she went out with that man over there, and she lost her head completely.
That's a corny gag.
It ain't bad for a turkey.
Order in the court. Order in the... Whoops, that's twins. Won't Mama be surprised when she comes home?
Will the next witness please take the nest? I mean the stand. You are here as a character witness, sir. What is your name?
My name is Fred Allen.
Your occupation?
I'm a comedian.
That's a lie! I object!
Order in the court! Order in the court!
Now, Mr. Allen, how long have you known the defendant?
74 years.
Just a minute, Mr. Allen. You're not that old.
When you know a man like Benny, you try to hurry up and die.
Now, wait a minute.
That will be all, Mr. Allen. Your testimony has... Whoops! That's three down and one to go. And now will the defendant please take the stand?
Yes, and I'll say plenty.
Your name?
Jack Benny.
Your occupation?
Radio comedian.
Your wage?
38.
What?
Oh, my age. Well, that's a personal matter.
Now, isn't it true that on the afternoon of November the 26th, you did murder with drumstick aforethought, Miss Tilly Turkey?
Yes. But since when is it a crime to kill a turkey?
The prosecution will present its next witness.
Yes, sir. Your name, please.
He's not Kitzel.
Now, Mr. Kitzel, in the course of your employment in a poultry market, isn't it true that you sold the defendant a turkey?
Look, Mr. Benny is a very good friend of mine. I don't like to say anything that's going to hurt him.
Well, how long have you been friends?
Since before he murdered the turkey.
Mr. Kitzel. Quiet. Now, about this turkey you sold the defendant, was she nice and plump?
She was beautiful.
Oh? Then she was very well-rounded.
Her features was banned in Boston.
Now, Mr. Kitzel, we want an identification of the deceased turkey. How much did she weigh?
I think 29 pounds.
You think she weighed 29 pounds, don't you know?
Wait, I'll ask my assistants. Say, boy.
They're not his assistants. That's my quartet. What's the matter with everybody? Are they crazy?
Boy, how much did Mr. Benny's turkey weigh?
What kind of a trial is this?
She was the turkey of 29 pounds. In the barnyard she made all around. Now there were 29 chickens as crazy as the dickens of the turkey of 29 pounds. She left 29 broken eggs. She had feathers all over her legs. And brother, I am not bluffing. You ought to see the stuffing in the turkey of 29 pounds. She was a gob, gob, gobbling baby. A new kind of bird from the west. She'll make wonderful gravy. If you're not careful, it's on your best. She ate 29 bushels of corn. Since the 29 weeks she was born, she looks so lovely on your table with her legs like Betty Grable. She's the turkey of 29 pounds. Oh, gobble, gobble, the turkey of 29 pounds.
Judges of the jury, you've heard the evidence. What is your verdict?
We find the defendant, Jack Benny, guilty of murder.
Don Wilson! Let's get in, kids. Get away from me. Get away from me, do you hear? Stay away from me.
Boss!
Leave me alone. Take your claws out of my wrist.
Boss, wake up. Wake up. It's me.
Huh? Oh, it's you, Rochester. See what a dream I just had. Dreamed a bunch of turkeys were eating me. I could feel them. One of them kept biting me and biting me.
Well, boss, you should never go to sleep with your teeth in your pocket.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's tough enough when we grown-ups have problems. But when our children are the victims of circumstances we are responsible for, that's unforgivable. I'm referring to what is happening in our schools today. Thousands of underpaid teachers are being forced to leave their profession to enter better-paying fields. Now, we can correct this situation by being active in the Parent Teachers Association, local school boards, and getting to know the individual teachers better. So let's support our teachers and take an active interest in their welfare. Thank you.
Jack, we'll be back in just a minute. But first,
quality of product is essential to continuing success.
And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
L-S-M-F-T.
Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And fine tobacco is what counts in a cigarette. Remember what happens at the tobacco auctions? Season after season, at auction after auction, independent tobacco experts can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco.
Lucky Strike presents The Man Who Knows. Mr. James Ball, ace tobacco auctioneer of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, sold 7.5 million pounds of tobacco in just 24 days. A world's record. Not long ago, he said,
season after season, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy fine, ripe, mellow leaf, tobacco that makes a swell smoke. I've smoked Lucky's myself for 29 years.
So for your own real, deep-down smoking enjoyment, remember,
L-S-M-F-T,
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
Yes, next time you buy cigarettes, ask for Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Ladies and gentlemen, be sure to listen to the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show on Sundays and A Day in the Life of Dennis Day on Wednesday. Well, kids, I'm glad you all enjoyed the Thanksgiving dinner, and oh, darn it, I just remembered something. I forgot to invite Norman Krasna. I better call him up and apologize and ask him to dinner tonight.
Norman Krasna's residence.
I'd like to speak to Mr. Krasna, please. This is Jack Benny.
I'm sorry, but Mr. Krasna's busy at the moment. Could I give him a message?
Yes, I'd like you to find out if he can go out to dinner with me tonight.
Just a moment, I'll ask him. Hello?
Hello, what did Mr. Krasna say? Good, but tell him 8 o'clock. Goodbye.
Go. Jack having a little guilty dream.
Yep. And guilt can kind of mess with your mind, and it certainly did his.
I don't know if I could slay my own turkey. I guess if I was hungry enough, yeah, but just like When I'm not hungry, I don't know if I could do that.
Obviously, it used to be a lot more common. A lot of these shows have it where people were had to kill their own turkey. And from Artemus Brooks to just about every show, it seems, they all have end up with a live turkey, which adds to the fun. But just something that's not that common of a thing, at least in town here, maybe out in the boonies where you live, Dale.
No, they have, you know, they actually have like slaughterhouses and stuff. There's a bunny slaughterhouse not far. Anyway, my adoptive mother, okay, grew up, she was born in the late 20s, all right, A.D., and to be clear, and she remembers her mother going out back with a chicken and a hatchet.
Yeah.
And well, getting dinner prepared.
Well, my mother lived on a farm, so, you know, I'm sure they did that. My grandfather did.
Yeah. Their job was to pluck the turkey after it was done running around without a head.
You know, the turkeys did that, too. My grandfather did that with chickens, you know, and scared the heck out of me. I never, you know, I was very, very young when he did that. He thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I had nightmares for a month.
and I don't know if it's an urban legend, but supposedly somebody in the 40s had they were on a circuit. They chopped the chicken's head off, and it, like, lived a while. Like, a while. Like, another
year or
something.
I heard about that.
Yeah,
it was a chicken. For some reason, something happened, and it survived for the longest time.
Yeah. Okay, good. It's not just me.
It usually is, but, you know.
But much more fun than chopping their heads off, you might as well take a shot at them. They're turkeys, and that's why we got Gunsmoke Turkey Shoot tonight.
Yeah, and not necessarily a Thanksgiving episode, but it always gets lopped in with Thanksgiving episode, so I thought it would be... But again, back when Gunsmoke was...
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Sorry. Like a turkey on the brain, apparently.
When Gunsmoke was supposed to be in the late 1800s, it was a fairly new holiday. I think Lincoln was the first time one the president actually proclaimed it as such. And I don't know if it floated around or not. It was just kind of made to celebrate the feast, a feast for the year of good harvest, that kind of a thing. So,
I'm surprised in that rural era you don't see turkeys all over the place.
Yeah, I don't know. They can be aggressive birds. They can be very
aggressive. It's fun to watch silly people try and get a photograph of them.
Yeah. The turkey says, all right, you got a little too close here. Wild turkeys, too, can be extremely aggressive. There have been rural mailmen who have had difficulty delivering due to strange turks.
Yeah.
Attacking them.
My mother said they have some around down. She lives not far from a preserve area, but she said she's seen turkeys. There are a lot of deer there, but she said she saw some wild turkeys.
Hey, Fogsbane brings up something good in the chat that last time he had trouble getting to reallow permissions. Check your ad blockers.
I had to reallow permissions for CloudFront.
Are you still not able to
more stream guys
into the chat room?
Yeah, Gar and Dave both had trouble yesterday. Ironically,
I'm
at the same time, but some of our listeners did not. You did not seem to have any issues.
No issue at all. I'm actually, I think I'm in right now.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, you are. You are.
We see you.
What's weird is that actually Gar's and my accounts were disabled. They literally said that they said our accounts were disabled. I don't understand why, but they said they were disabled. To get in, I actually had to create a different account with a different email.
Weird. Well, that doesn't seem like there would be an ad blocker then. That would be more of a coming from your computer thing. So I don't know. Who knows?
Or somebody turned me in.
Yes, Dave. It's all those thousands of complaints I've been getting about your vulgarity. Yeah, I don't think it's Dave. let us keep going with some gun smoke. We might have some time for some fun stuff.
Framed. I was framed.
Oh, what? What do you mean you were framed?
I was framed.
Did you want us to, like, feel sorry for you?
I wasn't expecting that.
I can't talk.
Couldn't get into Blog Talk. Nobody loves me anymore.
Yep. Poor Dave. Gotta give him his music. But he's weeping openly in the chat. As we move on to Gunsmoke Part 1, the turkey shoot. And it's from
September 7th of 1958.
City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. William Conrad, the story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it. I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal, the first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Be the hottest day of the whole year.
Yeah, I think you're right, Chester.
I stuck my hat full of grass, but the sun's still frying my brain.
Well, it won't take long now. The Case Ranch is just over this ridge, isn't it, Hank?
Yeah. So I'm sorry to bring you out in this weather, Marshal. Back home, we never bothered the law or something like this. Always settled it personal.
Yeah, it works out better this way, Hank.
Well, seeing how Grover Case feels about me, I mean, I reckon you heard how it was with me and Alma before him and her got married.
Hey, you did the right thing coming to me with it, Hank.
I just thought it wouldn't happen again. I'd forget about it, Marshal, but it's the third time now. Doggone it, I can't afford that kind of a loss.
There's no reason why you should.
There's Kate right there under the bar, Mr. Jones. Don't see the boy around no worries, though.
Sure hate to have to do it. You let me handle it.
Year-old boy, Marshal.
Didn't you buy Eddie one of those light Winchester rifles a couple of years ago? Well, what if I did? Yeah, it seems like he's been using that gun pretty freely. He's been shooting some of Hank's prize turkeys.
Who said so?
I seen him do it last time.
That's a lie.
You watch your tongue.
And you get off my property
right
now.
I got you enough, both of you.
Marshal, there ain't a word of truth in it. My boy knows if he was to go do something like that, I'd whale the daylights out of him.
I suppose we talk to him about it.
There's nothing to talk about. Because some turkey farmer starts spreading lies around.
I'm a patient man, Grover, but you stop that talk about lies.
And get off my property if you don't like it.
Easy now.
Grover? What's the matter?
Afternoon, Miss Kate.
Marshal? Hi.
How are you, Alma?
She's Mrs. Kate, turkey farmer, and don't you forget it. You go on back to the house, Alma. This don't concern you.
What do you mean? What is it, Marshal?
Seems young Eddie's been taking pot shots at Hank's turkey.
There ain't no truth in it, Alma. Now, you stay out of it.
Grover, let's see what the boy has to say, huh?
I ain't gonna have the law pushing my young'un around.
The law's not going to. I just want to talk to him. Now, where is he?
He ain't here. I sent him into town.
Grover, he...
Shut up.
I think maybe he came back without you knowing about it.
No, he didn't.
In fact, judging by the way that dog's sniffing around at the crack, I think maybe he's right there inside the barn listening to us.
No, he ain't, I tell you.
Grover, this is a matter of law, not a personal argument. Now, you quit stalling around and you call him out. Fire and water are ancient enemies, but nowadays the battle between them affects every one of us. As forest fires endanger water supplies. How do burning trees affect the water supply? Fallen leaves and the roots of trees hold rainwater and melted snow water in the ground and let it drain gradually downhill into streams and rivers. This same land, burned over, becomes eroded by wind and rain. When there is little rain, this land has no storage of water to feed streams and city reservoirs go lower and lower. In other words, more than wood is lost when a forest burns. The damage strikes straight at you, at me, at every one of us. That's why it's so important for all of us to be careful of fire in wooded areas. 9 out of 10 forest fires are man-made and are thus preventable. When you're driving, walking, or picnicking in the woods, don't be one of the guilty who sets the fires that waste America.
I said he ain't in there.
All right. Eddie, come on out. I know you're in the barn, man. I said come on out here.
I'm coming. Don't be too hard on him, Marshal.
He ain't done nothing, and the law is not going to cut him.
You're the one that told him. You told him you see me there in the barn.
I didn't, Eddie.
You was going to, though. Only Paul stopped you. You're always doing something to get me in trouble.
I just tried to be a good mother to you.
You ain't my mom. You're never going to be.
Eddie.
Me and Paul had it all right here before you come.
Now, wait a minute, Eddie. Seems to me you got yourself into trouble. You were listening in there. Now, what about those turkeys?
I don't know nothing about it.
See what I told you?
Eddie, I seen you do it. I was walking back up the draw, I heard the shot, and then I seen you ride off on that pony of yours. And you had your rifle. If I hadn't been afoot, I'd have chased you and caught you right then.
I ain't been near your place.
Eddie, why do you think Hank would tell a story like that if it wasn't true?
I don't know nothing about it, Marshal.
Well, I've known Hank now for quite a while, and I never knew him to lie before. Now, why do you suppose he'd start with you?
I told you I don't know.
All right. Well, I guess I'll have to take you into town with us, Eddie.
You aiming to jail this boy just on somebody's face?
I'm not going to jail him, Grover. He can bunk in with Chester tonight, and we'll see what Judge Bent has to say about it in the morning.
You know why Jurgen made up this story, don't you? It's because of Alma here.
Grover, please.
He never could stand it because he picked me instead of him. Now he's trying to hit back at the boy to get him.
All right, Grover, you've said enough. Come on, Eddie, let's get started.
I don't want to go to jail.
Well, if you didn't do it, Eddie, you got nothing to worry about.
He just made it up like Paul said.
Oh? Well, why would he do that?
I don't know.
Lucky, because I seen him come here when Paul was away. Sure, he come lots of times, and he must know that I seen him.
That's not true.
It is true. That's why he's trying to get me out of the way, because he knows I seen him.
It's not true, Grover. I haven't seen Hank since before we got married.
Grover, that's a fact, and I'll swear to it on a Bible. Eddie, was that true? What you said about him coming here?
Of course it was true, Paul.
All right, then. Jurgen, you better start wearing your gun.
Have a beer with it.
Well, thank you.
Sam, bring Matt a glass of beer, will you?
Sure, my kitty. I heard you threw the cake boy in jail this afternoon.
Oh, you heard wrong, Doc. I got Chester keeping an eye on him, that's all.
Oh, I did hear wrong then.
You know, I've been talking to Eddie most of the afternoon and evening, and either he's telling the truth or he's the best doggone liar I ever saw.
Hey, youngsters are sometimes.
Doc, I wonder if you'd come over in the morning and try to talk to him, huh?
Me? Well, I don't know anything about kids.
Well, you ought to, Doc. There's a living plenty of them.
Yeah, but not when you're 12 years old.
Well, a doctor ought to know something about human nature.
Go to the lawn. All right, then I'll talk to him, but I won't guarantee anything.
Yeah. Here's your beer, Mark.
Oh, thanks.
Matt, Chester told me the boy says his stepmother's been seeing Hank Jurgen at home while Grover's away.
Yeah, that's what kicked up all the trouble.
Uh-huh.
What do you think, Kitty? Alma worked here. You knew her.
I don't know, Matt. She and Hank were real close. And then she quit work suddenly and married Grover. Since then, I haven't heard anything.
Yeah. I can see Hank lying to protect Alma, and yet Eddie swears that every word of his story is true, that he didn't kill those turkeys, and that he's seen Hank at the ranch. I don't know what to believe.
Wait a minute.
Huh?
How are you, Kitty?
Hello, Alma.
Doc.
Hello, Miss Kitty.
This is the first time I've been in the long branch since I quit and got married.
Well, that hasn't changed much, Alma.
Lots of other things have, though.
Don't you want to sit on?
No, thanks. I don't have much time. Marshall, how's Eddie?
And he's still telling the same story, Miss Case.
They never liked me. Always talks about how much better everything was before his ma died. I've tried every way I know how to.
Well,
Marshall, I was wondering, could I go over to the jail with him and try talking to him myself? He don't know what he's done, Marshall. If I left Grover out there at the place with kissing and drinking and staring at the wall. He won't say a word to me. He won't even look at me. You walk down with me?
Sure, all right. Come on, Miss Casey. Let's go talk to him.
Smoke.
Yes, indeed. Turkey shoot.
Did he or didn't he?
I do not know.
Only the turkey.
I think I've left this room. Got to get back to the room. I lost my place here.
Oh, no.
You'll always have a place here, Dave.
Oh.
I'm back. Here we are.
Yay. Yeah, you don't seem to be the only one there. Angela Asylum had to, I think, bow out. She said she had to keep reloading to get back in the chat room.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that, you know, some browsers don't work as well with this as others.
Last night I used Firefox, and I also used Edge, and tonight I'm using Brave.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Brave? Oh,
that's bold.
Yes, it's Brave and bold. It's pretty nice one too. It keeps a lot of the spyware on and what.
Okay.
So, yeah, Brave is really good. I didn't go on The Onion, which is really super secret. All the basic ones seem to be working, so I don't know what to tell you. It might be that Blog Talk is just being obstinate.
Well, she has seems to have a lot of trouble. She can get in, but she has a lot of trouble hearing what's going on. I'm not sure whether it's a connection or what. I don't know.
I'm not sure if that's a blessing or what. But anyway.
Yeah, it might be. Turkey.
So Blog Talk may have saved your life. Insanity.
It's so round, it's so firm, it's so fully packed.
Yeah, it is a bit rough in the recording, you're right. And actually, I cleaned it up quite a bit. I did as much as I could. This is the best copy of this episode I could find, which is weird because a lot of them sound so unbelievably clear. It's just strange that this one had the problems it did, but.
Yeah, I heard a lot of background noise in the saloon scene, more than you probably should have for a saloon, I guess.
Well, we're not the only ones that experience this. I've got the free satellite thing going on this weekend. And some of them, you can hear a definite, like, disc noise, a prevailing disc noise. Dave, maybe you know something of this. It's almost like a needle-dragging type sound.
Well, and most of them, that's how they were preserved, were onto disc, most of them. I'm surprised that the Gunsmokes weren't more on, you know, reel-to-reel was starting to come about pretty strong about then, thanks to Bing Crosby and his efforts. And he also had efforts in the videotape world as well. So Bing probably made as much or more money off of his electronics than he ever did off of his performing.
Yeah.
Which is amazing because he's quite the performer.
He was.
Yeah. He didn't make that much on his production company, though.
Didn't he? With the...
No.
With the Hogan's Heroes?
Hogan's Heroes was the only show that really kicked it into gear, but anything else he did, as far as I remember, didn't really, from what I've read, he left money to his children from his second marriage. As for the first one, I don't know. That was really, well, you guys know more about the first and second marriages than I. But anyway.
I'm on the last one.
Yeah.
Whatever happened, the last one.
Yeah, that's what I always said. I said I'd never make the same mistake three times.
Three times.
But his production company didn't do that great. There was Hogan's Heroes, but I can't remember any other show that he did that ever made any ding.
Among the production company's credit are the films Abby's Irish Rose, Road to Rio, Road to Bali, High Society, High Time, Willard, Ben. Those two were produced by the Bing Crosby production. Walking Tall Part 2, and The Great Santini. and television shows Ben Casey, The Vacation Playhouse, Breaking Point, The Bing Crosby Show, Slattery's People, Bright Promise, the animated short The Magic Pear Tree, and the TV movies The Stranger, Night Slaves, Woman Hunter, The Man, The Hanged Man, as well as being the production company for the 1960s sitcom Hogan's Heroes. But yeah, I mean, he did some. They did pretty well in some of the movies.
Magic Pear Tree. I mean, I can't stop talking about that film.
So. Yeah.
The hell.
Well, I don't talk about it anymore because I ate the magic pear and it didn't do anything for me.
Oh, there you go. But he did Willard and Ben
and Walking Tall.
Yeah.
Wow, now those three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Willard did well, and Willard had, if Gar's listening somewhere, Willard had Ernest Borgnine in that movie.
Yep.
He did. Yes, he did.
For reals this time, for reals.
For reals.
Although he didn't have a tail in that one.
You've got to see the remake of Willard that Crispin Glover does. And he has this awesome video where he does a copy of Michael Jackson's Ben. And it's very, very disturbing. I did say Crispin Glover, so that should be no surprise.
Yeah. That's a gimme.
Hey, and he was perfect for the role. He was a weird little guy, you know? That just had some social issues.
Yeah, right now I'm in the chat room again. I'm on Brave browser, and I'm on a smart device, not my usual computer. So I don't know what devil is going on where you and everyone else is. So many people are having a dickens of a time getting in.
Well, it's just that my account was disconnected, disabled. I'm sorry. Which means they basically shut down my account and they shut down Gar's account.
I don't know what you guys did, but I don't know them, Blog Talk.
They wandered in off the street one day.
I mean, they're my only callers. I had to do something. But CW keeps her nose clean, see? You don't see her kicked out, do you? Hmm? No.
That's because they haven't caught me yet.
I guess that's the secret. You keep moving your browsers around, they can't catch you.
There you go.
Multiple browsers. Many browsers. Browsers aplenty.
You're a girl of many browsers, let me tell you.
And that's
somehow,
what I've been told.
That doesn't sound right, but okay.
Yeah.
Hey, it could be worse. Yeah, there could be a lot worse things than a person of many browsers. But let's wrap
that's
up.
True.
Gun Smoke Turkey Shoot and see what kind of time we got left for fun stuff as we continue.
But he still won't come out. I could have dragged him, but I didn't figure you'd want that.
No, you did right, Chester. I'll go back and try to talk to him.
He sure is a stubborn kid when he makes his mind or something.
Aren't you hungry, Eddie?
No.
You want to come up in the office with Chester and me?
Is he still there?
No. Your mom left. Crying.
She ain't my mom.
Well, she's your stepma, though. Same thing. What? Why wouldn't you talk to her?
I don't ever want to see her again.
You know, Eddie, you said a pretty bad thing about her.
It's true.
Maybe so, but now, when a fellow says something like that about a woman, I think he ought to give her a chance to explain.
I don't want
to. Now, I can understand when a fellow's had a fine maw and he's lost her. It's kind of hard for him to get used to another woman trying to take her place, but he ought to try and not go around carrying a chip on his shoulder.
She hates me. She wants to turn Paul again.
The thing is, though, a story like that hurts more than just one person. Hurts your Paul and Hank Jurgens. And you know something, in the end, it'll hurt you more than anybody else.
I told you I've seen him lots of times.
I can understand, too, telling a lie to get out of trouble. I did that myself a few times when I was a boy. You know why I quit doing that?
Why?
Because I found out that it felt worse to go around knowing that I'd lied than it did to admit the truth and take my punishment.
I didn't lie.
Now, killing a neighbor's turkey's a bad thing, all right, and your pa might strap you for it, maybe give you extra chores to help pay for them, but, well, that's not as bad as knowing every minute of the day that you've hurt three people without any cause. And you hurt yourself, too.
I said I wasn't lying.
Yeah. Well, in that case, you got nothing on your mind, so there's nothing to worry about, right?
Yeah.
You're still not hungry, huh?
No.
All right, then you better go to bed and get some sleep.
Marshall?
Yeah? Yeah, what is it, Eddie?
I shot them turkeys. And I didn't see Mr. Jordan over at our place, not once. I'm sorry. I knew Paul would be awful mad. I'm sorry,
Marshall. That's all right, Eddie. I'm just glad you told the truth.
Mr. Miller?
Yeah, where's the Chester?
Somebody just seen Dale Cates in town. He's drunk and he's looking for Hank.
What?
He says he's going to kill him.
Hank Jurgens may not even be in town, Chester.
Well, Grover told somebody he'd stop at Hank's place and he wasn't home.
I hope he's not. Wait a minute.
Hmm?
Over there in Delmonico's, there's Hank. Come on.
Well, he must not have heard Grover looking for him. He wouldn't be sitting in there eating for peaceful life.
Yeah, I guess not.
Well, Marshall, we'll have yourself some supper.
Hank, we've been looking for you.
What for?
Because Capes is in town and he's looking for you, too.
Well, I figured he would. Sooner or later. I started wearing my gun.
And I guess it won't come to that now. The boy admitted that he was lying.
Oh, I'm glad for Alma's sake. But if I'd known it was going to lead to what it did, Marshall, I'd have buried them dang turkeys and forgot about it.
Well, I'll talk to Grover, see if he's willing to make good for the loan.
Get
away.
Hey,
he's
out there in the street.
Stay back, sir.
Come on out,
Jurgens.
You ain't
afraid to.
Give
me your gun.
Oh, no, it's my fight, Marshal. I'm going outside.
What
are you doing? Here, Chester, take his gun and keep him covered and don't let him move.
Mister.
Now, if you went out there, Hank, you wouldn't get a chance to talk to him. Now, you stay put. Grover, hold your fire. Matt Dillon.
What's the matter with Jurgens? You scared? You stay out of this, Marshal. Between me and him. He's in there. I seen him. Why won't he come out?
Because Chester's holding a gun on him.
I'm going to take yours now.
Stay back, Marshal. My fight ain't with you.
You haven't got a fight. Your boy just admitted his whole story was a lie from start to finish.
You're making that
up. I'm not going to argue with you. Now give me that gun. You better start coming to your senses, Grover.
You're saying the boy made it all up about Hank and Alma?
Yeah. He's gone over to the jail and talked to us. You better figure on paying for Joe's window there, along with them turkeys.
I should have known the young'un was lying to get out of trouble.
Marshal?
Oh.
I heard the shot, Marshal. You know...
Over.
Oh, no, there was no harm done in this case.
He came back to the jail and saw Eddie. He told me.
I reckon we better go get him, Alma, and head on out to the place.
You go, Grover. I'm staying in town a while till I decide what I'm going to do.
Going to do? You're coming home. That's what you're going to do.
No, Grover. You'll believe what he said about me. Somebody's word against me. You believed it.
Alma.
I'm not going with you now. Maybe not ever. I'll have to study it out.
Now, wait a minute.
Good night, gentlemen.
Alma. Alma, you come back here. She can't do this to me, Marshal. She's my wife. She belongs at home. Marshal, you gotta help me.
I'm sorry, Grover. This is something the law's got nothing to do with. You're on your own.
Became quite the comedian.
No. Different Norm MacDonald.
Oh.
Norman MacDonald. Norman MacDonald. Actually, he also he actually produced the TV Gunsmoke series as well up until, I think, when they, he had it up until they turned color. Once they turned color, he was no longer a producer. But even when they went to hour-long shows, I think he was producing it. And once they went to color, that was it for him.
Oh. Couldn't take the coloration of it all, and
it could not, I guess. I look how long he's been producing.
Wait a minute, you couldn't take that. I could get all right. I get the thing of going from silent to talkies. All right, that being a transition, the black and white to color.
Well, that's a big step. That's a big step.
Well, it's not, look at it today. Now you have high definition, and there were in the beginning a lot of performers who didn't like it because it showed every single flaw. So, of course,
right.
Now you have better makeup artists who, just like when black and white turned to color, the makeup artist had to adapt.
Except, they also have... thing called now today called the geezer lens. You know, when you get the old people in there, you put the geezer lens on. It's not quite as clear.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. The blur effect.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I had the 70s to create the blur effect, man.
Didn't that originate out of Woodstock?
Worked rather well from what I remember. But
Woodstock.
If you remember the 70s, you weren't really there.
That's what they say.
Okay.
That's what they
time
say.
Enough for, time enough for a quick tune before we get into shameless self-promotion.
Okay.
Let's see. I'll spring for this one.
For more of the same, Patty, Maxine, and Laverne get together right now on that double-duty Pan-American special that accentuates the Andrews sisters as follows.
Folding up the tent, kids. No, we're going to... It took 5 years to get here, but it's time for a honeymoon, right? Honeymoon Mayhem next week with Lights Out, Battles for Inspector West, and Inner Sanctum. That's just Friday. And then an even stranger honeymoon, and kind of deadly one at that, on CBS Radio Mystery Theater. That's Saturday at 6:30 Eastern. And as soon as we're done here, head on over to them there Twitches. I believe Gar is doing a live show. He seems to have recovered from last night's problem. And is hopefully going to entertain, amuse, and mesmerize yous out there. I want to thank good old Bob, CW, of course, Angel, Fogsbane, for joining us live, and the billions and billions of others that we can not see, but we know you're there.
One quick thing. Next Saturday, when we play our Radio Mystery Theater, that will be our 1,000th full radio program.
Wow. 1,000. That's next Saturday, 1 week from
Saturday. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet, in Frankenstone.
I hate when he forgets you.
Don't come alone.
Do this every week, then. What?
Really, Vince, you must stop.
Old habits die hard.
Yes.
Well, you know what? I can understand that happening, Dale, because I know when we went down in, to Florida to shoot Hooley's Park for our Spaceship One episode, who was he? He was Houlihan the Weatherman. Well, we turned him into Houlihan the Planet Man. Every time he opened his mouth, he kept saying Houlihan the Weatherman, and he couldn't. It was just so automatic that for him to say Houlihan the Planet Man took about 10 takes. It was funny.
I think that's awesome. I think that's absolutely awesome.
So, yep. And just the way it came down.
Yep. And
can you believe that, buddy? We're coming up on 1,000 full radio shows we've shared here.
Incredible. I would have think there would have been rioting by now.
Yes, in the streets.
Isn't there a United Nations law, a doctrine against this somewhere?
I hope so.
Probably, but they like to complain about everything, so, you know.
Yeah, I hope there is. I mean, it would be very satisfying knowing that we're doing this. The kind of guy I am.
Yeah, we're pestering somebody, that's for darn sure.
Yeah. What's life if you can't drive with someone crazy? Or make him cry in episodes of Lassie.
Oh. Aww. Is he falling down the well? Again? There.
Again, I rely on your guys' expertise. I may have started talking about this yesterday. Well, we were watching Lassie, and all of a sudden Denise starts jumping up. She goes, "That's Fury! That's Fury!" And sure enough, she looked it up. She went and did the IMDb thing, and it was a crossover episode with Fury the horse.
Wow!
Was a guest on Lassie. Who knew?
Okay, but
I don't know about that.
They didn't give him the credit, special guest, Fury the Horse? What is this?
They may have at the end. I don't know. I know what really sets Denise off and gets her crying is at the very end when they show Lassie sitting there, right? And then all of a sudden you see Rudd Weatherwax's name come up, you know, the trainer. And up goes Lassie's paw. It's time for that. And just, it's so cute. She's been bawling her eyes out. It's hilarious to me.
Sorry.
Yep.
You know, it's just amazing. I've watched some of those in the last year and a half here, so some episodes of Lassie. They are so touching. The music and everything else that goes along with it just makes it kind of beautiful. Oh my.
Yeah.
Oh, here's
Well, hey, Jude Lockhart, right? Why not? Just keep rolling with it.
What I'm waiting for is Timmy to run down and say, "Lassie fell down in the well."
Which never happened.
It never happened. Lassie,
never. No.
That only proves them. Only screws them. The dogs are smarter than humans.
Yeah. So are horses. Apparently Fury kicked someone down into the well, if I'm not mistaken. Probably a bad guy. No, I'm not. What? That was not a joke. I believe that actually there was an episode like that.
Oh, my gosh.
Where Fury said, "Yeah, you're going down in the well, bitch." Oops. I'm sorry. It was a literal translation from horse language.
We don't talk about witches on this show, Dale.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's true. Not since Nancy.
Not since Nancy, yes.
Yes.
Oh, say, Lassie, what's down that well? Cthulhu is in the well?
Cthulhu's in the well. And Lassie would have saved Cthulhu, too, I'm sure. Because she was the ultimate, she's the ultimate hero dog. So keep that with your sappy music. There you go, Lassie the hero dog.
Lassie the hero.
Pal likes Lassie. He's gone up to the TV and kissed her twice already.
Aww.
Very cute. Yeah. Yeah, he knows how to work. He knows how to work me for an extra bone. An extra treat.
So did the dog go after the turkey?
No. No, he was very well behaved. He was actually more concerned with my son's dog because he's learning how to behave around other animals. He did okay. He did okay.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
He was a little bent at first, you know. I was like, hey, who's this guy, man? This is my house. I thought I was the cute one. You know, it's like almost like sibling rivalry stuff. Like, get over yourself.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't go after the turkey dragon in front of the other dog. He did it. It was in him.
No, that's something a cat would do, though. That's something a cat would definitely do.
Oh, yes. Why are you looking at me? It's the dog, of course.
Yes. I wouldn't dirty my paws with this horrible thing that happened.
Pay no attention to this cranberry sauce on my fur.
Dogs have a conscience. I remember Stormy, if he had a problem, he actually ate a couch. He had such bad separation anxiety. He ate a couch. But you would know before you even saw anything when he came in by his posture that something, he'd done something. He did something wrong. Yeah, I'm going to tell him myself. Okay, guys? Don't get too mad. But if a cat does something, it's like, yeah, the dog did it. Yeah, I was here. The dog did it.
Yeah, and the dog would feel guilty about it and look guilty.
I tried to stop him. I know, the dog is like the one with a conscience. I tried to stop him. I tried to reason with him. No, the dog did it.
Well, Davey, I wouldn't do that if I were you, Davey.
Oh, yeah. Davy and Goliath. Holy cow.
I also wonder if Scooby-Doo was fashioned after that dog.
Probably more a little after Astro, I would think. At least, you know, using the same voice by John Messick.
Yeah, I would say it'd probably be more after.
Now, maybe Astro. I don't know.
Astro.
Ruh-roh. Ruh-roh. Oh, my lord.
Yeah, roll orange. Reggie! Not a big leap.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo. Well, yeah, I mean, of all the dogs, I'm here to say Scooby-Doo has the most money coming in. Scooby snacks, Scooby cereal.
Yep.
Scooby doll.
That franchise lasted a long time.
Yes, it has, and survived several generations as it continues to at least two or three box office movies.
Yep.
So,
and it first aired 1969, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Yeah. I remember being very young.
Death to Scrappy-Doo.
Oh, Scrappy-Doo was a waste of time. That was Yeah, I wanted to kill that one myself.
Scrappy-Doo gets rabies.
I love dogs, but Scrappy-Doo is no, thank you. All there is to it, man.
The original TV series run was from 1969 to 1976, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? And the new Scooby-Doo movies. That was with CBS. Jumped over to ABC from 76 to 1991. These are the ones who should take the blame because they started with Scooby-Doo and Scooby's All-Star Laugh Olympics. Then it was Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo.
Terrible.
What happened to, wasn't that one, the 13 Mysteries or 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo that Vincent Price was connected to?
I don't know. He was a guest at least a few times on the show. They got a lot of celebrity guests on Scooby-Doo.
Even Lauren Hardy, and they were already dead.
The 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo was, I don't know, they listed as 2.25. I don't know what that means. I guess the second rendition in the ABC years.
Okay.
It reruns and reboots from 1987 until, like, well, now.
Yeah.
There's been a Velma spinoff series. Shaggy and Scooby.
Really?
Yeah, there's been very recently a Velma spinoff series. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Where was I?
I doubt you're missing much, but okay.
What about Daphne?
There might be some stuff that people always fantasize about is now coming to light. Well, Velma and Daphne, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, who knows? I don't know. The guy they got to play Shaggy, though, was pretty darn good in the first movie, or first couple movies. That guy did really well.
Oh, I think that was Matthew Lillard.
I believe you are correct.
Yes, he was a good Shaggy.
Yep. Yeah, he was in the 2002 and 2004 theatrical films and took over of the animated character in 2010.
Wow. Nicely done.
He also voiced Shaggy in 4 stop-motion parody sketches for Robot Chicken.
Robot Chicken, that is another thing that is totally geared towards adults.
I did not know that Shaggy's name was Norville Rogers. What?
No.
Yes.
What?
Really?
It's true.
Wait.
I used to know the professor's name from Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, the professor and the skipper. They had real names, but it was never mentioned.
Jonas Grumby or something like that was the skipper.
Yes, Jonas Grumby was the skipper. And I don't remember the professor's name. They were mentioned because in one of the early episodes, they were listening to the radio to their names of the lost people, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, yeah.
And that was the last mention of those two characters' names.
What was Marianne's last name?
Oh, was it Summers? Marianne Summers?
Summers or Rogers or something like that.
Oh, maybe. Naturally, of course, we knew Thurston Howell the Third and Lovey Howell.
That was supposed to be her name, actually. It was Lovey. Lovey Howell. Alan Hale, Jonas the Skipper Grumby. Ah, Roy Hinckley. Professor Roy Hinckley.
Roy Hinckley. That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
And
Marianne Summers. That's not bad.
Got it. Okay.
Janos Prochaska played the gorilla in 5 episodes. Hans Conried, of course, is Wrong Way Feldman.
Yeah. Yeah, Ginger's the one that never had the last name.
Ginger Grant.
Yeah, why did they not have that on there? Shame on them.
They did. They mentioned her last name a few times.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm looking at this cast, and they had everybody's full name except for hers and Gilligan's.
Yeah, Gilligan, I don't think we'll ever know his name.
Yeah, because they
we don't even know
if Gilligan was his first name or his last name.
He could have been A. Maybe he's like Madonna, just one name. I'm done. Gilligan.
Madonna, Cher, Kesha, Gilligan. Prince, Gilligan. Well, Prince, we knew his full name, but he went by the artist formerly known as for a while. Then he went back to Prince.
Mel Blanc played a parrot for on three episodes of Gilligan's Island.
Did he really?
Yes, he
did.
Wow. Not a surprise, really, if you think about it. Who better?
Not at all. I want to know who, what brand, here's a trivia question. You have to look at high definition resolution on that series. What was the brand of radio that they had, that radio that did everything short of being a complete starship?
Wasn't that a Philco?
I don't know.
Is it a Philco?
Don't think so.
That the professor did everything with that radio short of turning it into a Starship Enterprise.
Yep.
Yeah, and it never ran, those batteries never ran down.
No.
No, they found a way to recharge them. I'll give them that.
Yeah, I think they used coconut oil or something. Coconut milk batteries. They made everything out of coconut. They had a damn car made out of leaves and coconuts and...
Yeah, coconut vines, thatch.
Yep.
Okay. Gilligan's Island radio used on the series wasn't the original radio chosen for the show. Not much is known about the first radio, but after consideration, they went with the Packard Bell that is seen on all of the episodes. The white radio used doesn't have a serial or model number inside.
Did you know Gilligan's Island was created as a political statement?
No.
No.
Producer Sherwood Schwartz came up with the idea of Gilligan's Island while attending a college class. He said it was meant as a social microcosm and a metaphorical shaming of world politics in the sense that when necessary for survival, yes, we can all get along. His idea is based on the question of what would you take with you if stranded on an island, which actually makes a bit of sense when you think about it. The pilot was filmed on the day John F. Kennedy was assassinated. If you look closely, you will see flags at half-mast as the minnow leaves Hawaii.
It doesn't make sense, but that doesn't make sense because nobody knows they're going to be stranded on a deserted island.
True. Except the Howells. They had everything in that damn trunk. Oh, my God.
They really did, yes.
They had enough luggage for 10 years.
No wonder the ship went down.
Here's another fact. There was supposed to originally be a fourth season.
Yes.
The idea was scrapped in order to make room for Gunsmoke. Oddly enough, one of our programs tonight.
Well, yeah, because I guess Gunsmoke was going to get canceled, but the programmers or president's wife loved Gunsmoke, so they had to save it. In order to save it, they had to throw something else off. Basically, they had been told, but not signed, they were going to have another season. So everyone went off on vacation, and before they'd come back and start filming again, and then I got contacted. Said, "There's no more seasons here."
Fact number four: the Coast Guard reported receiving letters from viewers asking them to rescue the cast.
Oh yes.
Fact five. Gilligan's first name was Willie. Sherwood Schwartz said he planned on Willie as Gilligan's first name. However, it was never actually used in the show. According to Snopes, it's up for debate whether or not Gilligan was the first mate's name. To this day, every time I see Bob Denver Gilligan, we still argue. He thinks Gilligan is his first name. I think it's his last name because in the original presentation, it's Willie Gilligan. But he doesn't believe it and he doesn't want to discuss it. He insists the name is Gilligan. Jerry Van Dyke turned down the role of Gilligan to star in My Mother's Cottage.
He did. Yeah.
He did.
What he did is he said he read both the scripts, and he said, according to the Gilligan's Island script, like My Mother in the Car read like Shakespeare.
Yep.
That's what he said.
What?
Yep.
I've seen snippets of that on YouTube. There is nothing Shakespearean. I don't know. Somebody must have written him. There is nothing Shakespearean about a car being possessed by your mother's spirit. I mean, and what is Gary Van Dyke wanting to do with Shakespeare? Sorry.
Fact 7, the SS Minnow was named after the head of the FCC, whom Sherwood Schwartz strongly disliked. After the 1961 FCC chairman, Newton Minow, whom he strongly disliked, Schwartz credited Minow with ruining television, as the chairman was notorious for calling TV a vast wasteland.
Oh, yeah, he did. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, he was the one, eh?
Alan Hale dressed up as a skipper while battling cancer to comfort a terminally ill boy who happened to love Gilligan's Island.
He did that even before he was ill. He did all the time. He barely had a role after that, but he never minded being pigeonholed as the skipper. He just loved the character. He loved the show. He loved the people, and he went around to a lot of hospitals visiting, especially kids.
According to many online polls, favorite character, Marianne.
This, I think I mentioned this once before, but I think Dawn Wells, her husband at the time, who was also her manager, had the wherewithal to put in her contract that she would get residuals. And they agreed to it because no one thought anybody was going to watch this once it went.
Oh, my.
She was the only one who got residuals off of that.
Oh, my God.
Right,
and all that syndication, she did all right for herself,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Everyone else was paid for 2 reruns, which was almost unheard of then also. But, you know, that was it.
Another fact, Natalie Schaefer only agreed to film the pilot because she got a free trip to Hawaii.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool.
Of course, we all know that the professor and Marianne were originally left out of the theme song. They were just designated to "and the rest."
Well, originally in the pilot episode, she was just like a lounge singer, and the professor was just a high school science teacher in the original pilot.
Huh. The role of the skipper was the most difficult to cast. The skipper was the toughest role. He wanted someone who was commanding yet affectionate towards Gilligan. He picked the right guy with Alan Hale Jr. The cast was originally drinking out of real coconuts until they realized it looked awful on camera. The coconuts were leaky.
So they finally got artificial ones.
Actor Russell Johnson, who played the professor, refused to take his shirt off during casting auditions. Gee, the entire cast didn't get along with Tina Louise. A bit of a snob.
I don't think anybody got along with that.
It was because she went to Lee Strasberg Actors Workshop, which was very renowned at the time. And for some reason, she had it in her head she'd get higher billing. But I believe Sherwood Schwartz had to remind her it's called Gilligan's Island, not Ginger. So, but she had a lot of training. I don't know what she was thinking at the time. But anyway, yeah, that's probably one of the reasons. I mean, the Lee Strasberg Art Workshop, it's the Actor's Studio, I believe it was called at the time, had tons of people. Marilyn Monroe went there, Marlon Brando, so many other people who went on to have really heavy careers.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's why her nose was out of joint.
The original lagoon was in Malibu, but fog created too many issues, so they relocated it to Studio City, where it was later drained and turned into an employee parking lot in 1995.
Aww.
The skipper, Alan Hale, broke his arm when he fell out of a coconut tree.
There was a documentary that Don Wells did and produced called Surviving Gilligan's Island 2001. And she did get Russell Johnson and Gilligan in it. Of course, the Jim Backus, if he was still alive, he wasn't doing well. And the skipper had already passed. But they had the professor and Gilligan and Marianne. And she had talked about it, and they dramatized some scenes from, you know, casting it to the pilot and all kinds of things. So.
Yep. And there's your fact, Dave. Don Wells, only cast member to still earn money from the show. Natalie Schaefer, who played Mrs. Howell while in her 60s, did most of her own stunts. She insisted on it.
Yeah. Well, they said they never really know. It wasn't until she died in her obituary that anybody actually found out how old she really was. She was probably in her late 60s when she was doing all that romping around in the lagoon and things like that.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
She became very close to Don Wells.
Yep. And last fact, the character... Marianne was originally cast as a secretary named Bunny.
Yeah.
Bunny wouldn't have worked.
Oh, yeah, thank you. They were probably trying to play on the Playboy nightclub scene.
She was just a secretary, and then the other guy was just a lounge singer, you know, again, what Sherwood Schwartz was trying to put together, but he even made it a greater division where it was just a farm girl and a movie star, you know, to widen it. And then a college professor instead of just a high school science teacher, you know, cause, which were those original three characters.
Quite so.
Quite so, Lieutenant, quite so.
Yes. Indubitably.
Oh, yes.
With that, gentlemen, I must motion towards the door where the one, the only, the Schnozzola himself awaits to be called on stage. It has been great. Thank you so much for once again allowing me to share in the festivities.
Yeah, you do us the honor, and you have this innate sense of perfect timing as you have welcomed in the great one, the Schnoz.
Night.
Good night. Good night. It's time to say good night. But good night. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Sorry for what we think, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Wherever.
Myself.